إذن فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى says in his glorious book, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم أهليكم نارا. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. This is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire. A fire in which the fuel of it is human beings. Human beings and stones. And from our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, an authentic hadith collected by many collectors of hadith, Bukhari and Muslim and others, he said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. That all of you, every single one of you, is a shepherd. And you're going to be responsible, and you are responsible for those things that are in your flock, those things that are under your supervision. وَالْإِمَامُ رَاعٍ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. And the Imam is a shepherd, and he is responsible and will be held accountable for everything that's under his رَعِيَّة, everything that's under his responsibility and his supervision. And the man is the shepherd in his house concerning the members of his household, and he will be responsible for those who are under his supervision. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَعِيَّةٌ وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَعِيَّةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا. And the woman is a shepherd in the household of her husband, in the house of her husband, in the house of her husband. She is a shepherd in the house of her husband. And she will be مَسْؤُولَةٌ فِي رَعِيَّتِهَا. And she is also responsible for the things that are under her supervision. And in another narration, she is مَسْؤُولَة, or she is رَعِيَّة, responsible in her husband's absence. In other words, when he returns, he's no longer responsible, because she's under his supervision. And then the Prophet goes on by saying, وَالْخَادِمُ رَاعٍ فِي مَالِ سَيِّدِهِ. And that the servant is a shepherd in terms of the money or the property of his master. Which also gives us another indication that slavery is not abolished in this land, that it still exists, and it will exist until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we're not talking about the slavery of the black people in America or the semblance of those types of slavery around the world. We're talking about the Islamic slavery, the slavery that is justified by the Sharia, by the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي مَالِ أَبِيهِ. And a man is responsible, he is a shepherd, and he is responsible concerning the property and wealth of his father. الإفطار. وهو مسؤول عن رعيته, and he's responsible for those things that are under his charge. كلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Every single one of you is a shepherd, and you will be held accountable and responsible for everything that is under your responsibility and your supervision. Today, brothers and sisters in Islam, in the short khutbah, inshallah ta'ala, we'd like to talk about one of those responsibilities that all of us have, whether we are a father, a mother, a teacher, or the entire society. And that responsibility is how we rear our children. How are we supposed to rear our children in Islam? All of us are ra'in, every single one of us. And in order for us brothers and sisters in Islam, especially in this country, especially in this United States of Shaitan, we better find out how to rear our children. We better look very closely on how to rear our children, especially in this corrupted, lewd, abominable Babylon of the 20th century. How do we rear our children? And in this khutbah today, brothers and sisters, especially you young brothers and sisters, I want you to listen very closely, because you also are shepherds over yourselves, and if your and your effort, of which we should get rid of the saying daddy and mommy, which is part of rearing our children correctly. Get away from calling them mother and father, and daddy and mommy, and papa and papa. You children, you're going to have to put your parents in check. But you're shepherds over yourself. Even if you're 5 years old, young brother, even if you're 6 years old, young sister, you better keep your parents in check respectfully if they don't rear you according to Islam. So you should listen also closely. Whether you're 10, 11, 15, or whatever, make sure that your parents are doing the right thing in terms of your education. Because all of you, the Prophet said, كلكم مسؤول في رعيته. All of you are shepherds. So you children are also a shepherd of yourselves. When you find your parents not rearing you properly and doing something against Islam, you have the responsibility of telling them, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't teach me this and you can't teach me that, as long as you do it respectfully. As long as you do it with respect of your parents. But you children have the responsibility of checking your parents. Remember this as we go through this short khutbah, inshallah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, there are some things that we can learn from the Quran and Sunnah and from our scholars of Islam, rahimahum Allah, may Allah have mercy on all of them and be pleased with all of them, that will help us rear our children in this corrupted country. One of the things that we have to impress on our children, brothers and sisters in Islam, is teaching our children to keep on their lips, to keep in their hearts, to impress in the bowels of their souls, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something that should be the first and foremost thing when you're teaching your children and rearing your children in Islam, in this country or any other country. You should be impressing in their minds, making it a permanent creep in their hearts and constantly on their lips, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You should be teaching them that this statement, if they understand it correctly, will allow them to enter into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, into His garden, into His paradise. If we find our children not even being able to say La ilaha illallah, we're going to have a problem, because all of you are shepherds and you're going to be held responsible for those things that are under your supervision. We should also be teaching them about the meaning of La ilaha illallah and the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. That La ilaha illallah has some conditions. That yes, it is the key to paradise, but every key has teeth. And if you want your children to have that admission into the greatest of places, not the Epcot Center or Disney World, but admission into Jannah, then you better teach them the meaning of La ilaha illallah and the meaning of Muhammadur Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Teach them that they have to love La ilaha illallah. Teach them that they have to be compliant to what it brings. Teach them that they must accept everything that La ilaha illallah brings and came with. Teach them that they have to be sincere about La ilaha illallah and have ikhlas and have yaqeen and certainty about the statement of La ilaha illallah. Teach them all the conditions of Muhammad Rasulullah, that there's no one that has the right to be obeyed among the human beings unequivocally, unconditionally, except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Teach them the lineage of Muhammad alayhi sallam, that he is Muhammad the son of Abdullah, Abdul Muttalib, all the way to the end of his lineage. Teach them to memorize how the Prophet looked. How tall was he? How long was his beard? What was the color of his eyes? How broad was his shoulders? Teach them to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that when they hear Muhammad or the Prophet or Rasul or Nabi, teach them to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is important for us, and it's important for our growth and development, for the children's growth and development, and for the ultimate reward, which is Jannah. We should teach our children that Jannah is a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them, even though they are children. And that those who are going to Jannah, there are certain actions that they have to do in order to go to Jannah. That those individuals who are constant on their salah, they're going to Jannah by Allah's mercy. And that those who fast and those who are generous in giving charity, teach the children these things will aid them to go to Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not excluded them from it. We should also teach our children, brothers and sisters in Islam, to have the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have this type of iman in their heart. We should also teach our children that they should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they should seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may not think that we have this problem in America of American Muslims, seeking refuge or seeking assistance with other than Allah, but we have the problem, brothers and sisters. Just visit the Rose Hill Cemetery in Linden on any given day, and you'll see Muslims praying to those in the graves. Right here in America, where you thought it only happened in Pakistan, or Egypt, or Sudan, or Turkey, it's happening right now. I've seen it with my own eyes. People actually making the salah at the graveyard. Teach your children, brothers and sisters, that they should only seek the assistance of Allah and seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not people who are buried in their grave who are going to have to answer for what they did in this dunya. And they won't be able to call or answer for anyone except themselves. We should teach our children, brothers and sisters, at a young age to make the salah and how to make the salah. And that when they become at a certain age, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, عَلِّمُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ الصَّلَاةِ إِذَا بَلَغُوا سَبْعًا وَاضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا إِذَا بَلَغُوا عَشْرًا وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَدَاجِعِ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said in the English translation of this hadith, teach your children the salah when they reach 7, and beat them when they reach the age of 10, because of the abandonment of it, or because of not being vigilant on the salah. وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. And this is the part in which many of us neglect and forget. وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَدَاجِعِ. And separate them concerning the bed. Alhamdulillah, many of us are teaching our children and giving them the example of salah at the age of 7. And alhamdulillah, when they don't want to make the salah at 10, we reprimand them or we discipline them by beating them lightly. But many of us, unfortunately, are not following the end of the hadith, which is separating the young brothers from their sisters. at the least have separate beds. At the most, have separate rooms. This is extremely important, brothers and sisters, especially for those who don't make the dua when they go to be intimate with their wives, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prophet has told us that whoever makes that dua, shaitan will never touch their children, and we wonder why we see traces of homosexuality at the ages of 5. وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمَ فِي الْمَدَاجِعِ and separate their beds as far as you can. Don't let them sleep together. At least in the same room, separate their beds, and at most, separate the room into the entirety. And we should remember the order of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, not trying to deviate from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hikmah al-baligha, the deep, wide, far, expansive wisdom of Allah, by forcing your children at a young age to get up for the salah. It's not from the hikmah of Allah that you force your 6-year-old to get up for fajr. And you are disobeying the command of Allah by not forcing them to get up at 10, saying they're too young. Keep the context of the hadith in its place. Teach them and command them by teaching them with your example at 7. And when they don't attend, beat them. And don't disobey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should also, brothers and sisters, in rearing our children, and there are many, many examples that this khutbah will not be able to give the examples of. We should also teach our children to memorize the Qur'an. Try to impress the importance of memorization of Qur'an. Alhamdulillah, I was very happy the other day when a sister asked me, can we please have some classes for the little ones in Qur'an? Absolutely, brothers and sisters, we have to do it. Unfortunately, the Americans, as we've mentioned before, time and time again, in the khutbahs, and after classes, or during classes, or after salah, that the American Muslims, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, don't memorize the Qur'an. You can go any place in the world, even the most impoverished places, like Mauritania, where people are dirt poor, and you find innumerable people, among the boys and the girls, even though they're starving to death, they have the entire Qur'an in their heads and their hearts. American Muslims, unfortunately, don't memorize the Qur'an. And as many of you right now were to stop and reflect and think deeply, if we gave you a whole month maybe, I guarantee you, you couldn't come up with 3 American Muslims that have memorized the Qur'an in the whole country. This is a shame, brothers and sisters. If we don't start getting these children to memorize the Qur'an, then we're going to lose the Qur'an. If the people of Islam were dependent upon the Americans to bring back the Qur'an, if all the Qur'ans were destroyed, the Qur'an would be no more because we don't memorize it. Brothers and sisters, impress on your children, the boys and the girls, especially the girls, to memorize the Qur'an in its entirety. And it can be done. Even if you yourself are not hafiz, even if you haven't memorized the Qur'an in its entirety, if you read the Qur'an with good tajweed and you understand the principles, you can make your child a hafiz of Qur'an. You can do it, brothers and sisters, and we have to upstep and upgrade this educational process in the memorization of the Qur'an. Also, brothers and sisters in Islam, we should impress especially on the boys Salatul Jama'ah and Salatul Jum'ah. We should tell the boys that it's obligatory on them to make the prayer in the masjid. And the only way we can do this, brothers in Islam, the men of Islam, is that we ourselves have to show that we are going to the masjid to make the Salah in Jama'ah. If we don't show this example, brothers in Islam, the men of Islam, then what do you think our boys, what is the attitude our boys are going to have concerning the Salatul Jum'ah and the Salatul Jama'ah when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in 2 different narrations with almost the same exact wording, referencing Jum'ah and Jama'ah, the Friday prayer and the congregational prayer, that he wished that he could order someone to lead the Salah and he would go and get some firewood and burn down the houses of the men who don't come to the Salah for the congregational prayer. and in the other narration for Jum'ah prayer. We should also, brothers and sisters in Islam, and rearing our children, we should warn our children from kufr and shirk, as Luqman said to his son. And we remember what he said, Ya bunayya, la tushrik billah, fa inna shirka la zulmun azim. Oh my dear son, do not ascribe anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a partner. Because surely a shirk is the most abominable of all sins, the most tremendous, the most heinous of sins. We should warn our children, brothers and sisters, of bid'ah, of all types of religious innovations. We should also warn and protect our children from lewd language, from filthy, abominable language. How can you consider yourself rearing your children, brothers and sisters, in Islam, and you have the type of language that people that they say the sailors don't even use? You're using all types of filthy languages in your house. You come outside with one face, and as the Prophet ﷺ said, that the person who has two faces, he will be dragged on in the Jahannam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you give one face on the outside as though you're a pious Muslim and you're using profanity that is the most despicable of profanity in the house? And then you reprimand your children for using the same words. Brothers and sisters, we should get rid of this filthy language. These 4 and 5 and 6 letter words, if we want to rear our children correctly. We should also keep them away from all types of games. Games that promote gambling. Games that include gambling, or entices gambling, or incites any type of games of chance. These games that have dice. Keep our children away from playing cards, brothers and sisters. Unless they're those games that, alhamdulillah, the Muslims have developed that will incite the Muslim to memorize the Quran, or memorize hadith, or memorize the issues of fiqh, or memorize and understand those things that have to do with Islamic history, that promotes brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam. Keep them far away from those games, brothers and sisters, that will also hurt them. Alhamdulillah, the kuffar have explained to us in these programs that they have on TV and on the radio that there are some games that can injure your children's eyes. They can get lodged in their throats. We should beware of these type of games. We're talking about rearing our children, brothers and sisters, in Islam, here in the United States. We should also teach our children to stay far away from these magazines. These magazines that have naked pictures in them, or half naked pictures in them, or 3/4 naked pictures in them, or whatever. And these magazines that promote hatred against Islam, whether covertly or overtly. We should keep them far away from these magazines and these periodicals. We should also, brothers and sisters, keep our children far away from the lewd, abominable, haram act of smoking cigarettes. And we should be very careful for those of us who haven't been able to shake this haram act. And I say it with no hesitation. Haram. Cigarette smoking is haram. And you have the nerve to smoke in front of your children. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu min ummati mu'afan illa al-mujahirun." All of my ummah will be excused and pardoned except those who broadcast their sins. We should also, brothers and sisters, teach our children to tell the truth. We should not encourage our children to be liars. We should not encourage our children that when the phone rings, ring, 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 is your ummi there? And then you tell your child, no, tell them I'm not here. This is a lie. You're teaching your children to lie. How do you think their minds are going to be developed growing up, knowing that for years, their um or their app. Poor people, when they didn't want to be bothered, tell them I'm not here. Tell them I'm in the bathroom, and you're sitting right there. Our own have been left. We seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan. We should also, brothers and sisters,
not feed our children, not clothe our children from the haram, from riba. We don't know what kind of effect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is going to have on a child that is being clothed or fed from riba. We don't know. We don't know how far reaching this food or clothing from riba can have. We should not feed and clothe and house our children on money from riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows best the effect that it's going to have. We should also teach our children, brothers and sisters in Islam, to make dua for us. How many of us teach our children, make dua for Ummi, make dua for Abi, make dua for us. Teach your children to make dua for you, brothers and sisters in Islam. For surety, the dua of the righteous child for their parent goes beyond the grave, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَالْوَلَدُ الصَّالِحْ يَدْعُوا لَهُ. That a righteous child who makes dua for his parents. These are one of the three things that after all your deeds have ended when you die, that they go beyond the grave, and you will continue to reap the benefit of it. Teach your children, brothers and sisters, to make dua for you, the parents. And those grandparents and relatives that are not Muslims, teach your children to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to Islam. This is important, brothers and sisters in Islam. We should also keep our children, brothers and sisters, far away from this TV. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, when I read the statistics on the TV from a Muslim periodical, I was shocked. I was shocked. I'm born and raised in America. I'm a child of television, and I couldn't believe it. 200 billion hours a year the average American looks at. 200 billion hours of TV a year Americans look at. Billion, brothers and sisters. 200 billion. 65,000 sexual references broadcasted every day during prime time. 65,000 sexual references. The average American, we talk about keeping our children away from the TV so they can be reared as good Muslims. The average American sees every single hour 27 sexual references. 27 every hour. Every hour on prime time television, there's 9 kisses, 5 hugs, 10 sexual innuendos, and brothers and sisters, 2 actual sexual intercourse. Every single hour on United States of Shaitan TV. And you give this to your children as a babysitter. Go in there and be a nice boy and look at television. And when you punish them, go read Quran. What kind of rearing of a child is this? When you want to punish them, go read the hadith. And though reading hadith is azab, it's punishment. And when you're good to them, or you show that they're good, you've been a good boy. Go in there and look at TV. 65,000 references, brothers and sisters. 200 billion hours. You take that and divide that into kufr and shirk, what do you get? Into the haram, and what do you get? 200 billion hours of kufr. 200 billion hours of shirk. 200 billion hours of bid'ah. 200 billion hours of